Let's turn our attention now at 20 past three to what is undoubtedly the lead story of the day. The presidency has responded to charges laid against President Cyril Ramaphosa yesterday. This in regard to a robbery that took place on the president's Limpopo farm in February of 2020. To talk about this, we're joined now by presidential spokesperson Vincent Magwenya. Mr. Magwenya, welcome and thanks very much for your time. Your statement is very clear about the fact that a robbery took place. What's less clear is what followed afterwards. And I'm going to read from your statement and then get you to comment. You say, on being advised of the robbery, President Ramaphosa reported the incident to the head of the Presidential Protection Unit of the South African Police Service for investigation. That, for me, begs a question, Mr. Magwenya. Were charges laid as a result of this?
I think some of these issues are going to be further ventilated in the investigation that is going to follow Mr. Fraser's charge. However, on the side of the president, he was satisfied that the head of the Presidential Protection Unit had done his best to follow up the matter. The money was gone. And there were no further leads that he had, and the president considered the matter closed.
The money was gone. Are you saying the money was gone and never recovered?
The money was gone and never recovered, John. This was from the proceeds from the sale of game that was stolen.
Why would the president, who regularly stands up and talks about the importance of every citizen of whatever rank fighting crime, consider a robbery in which a matter was closed, in which money was never recovered, shall we say, at the home, from one of the homes of the most prominent person in the country, arguably, would be a matter that you can simply declare as closed?
Look, John, the president was satisfied that, as I said, the head of the Presidential Protection Unit had followed up the matter, had done his best as possible. There were no leads, as I've said. So on the basis of that, he did not, see fit to further pursue the matter. That is not to say the president takes crime lightly. He takes it seriously, like all other citizens do. But he was equally affected by an act of criminality, like all South Africans get affected.
Well, most South Africans, sometimes more in hope than faith, lay charges and regularly follow up with the police to find out what's happened to that. How much money was stolen, Mr. Magwenya?
John, I can tell you that the figure cited by Mr. Fraser is hugely inflated. What we are doing now is to go back to the records and the invoices to just reestablish the exact amount. And we will do that, obviously, in the process of cooperating with the expected police investigation. So at this stage, I can't give you the exact figure. But from the recollection of the president, the figure that Mr. Fraser cites is hugely, hugely inflated.
I want to better understand, if there's a game sale, and I've not been to any auctions, but I've read a little bit about them, there would be animals from more than one seller. Was all the money that was stolen money that was the president's?
No, this, John, was not a transaction arising from an auction. This what normally happens in the course of the operations at the farm is that clients will come in and out to acquire various types of game, and so this was money that was collected during the sale of various sorts of game. It was not from an auction. And it was not unusual that there were cash payments, because some clients do transact in cash and some clients will transact via EFT. So there was nothing unusual in terms of the transaction itself. and the nature of the transaction.
Mr. Mokoena, I want to return to my first question and put this to you again. When you say that you can't, because there's further investigation to come, tell us whether a case was opened and a case number registered, I'm struggling to understand why that detail should be one that, given how straightforward the answer ought to be, I'm trying to understand why you're hesitating to answer that question.
No, I'm not hesitating, John. You know, the head of the Presidential Protection Unit is a policeman, senior policeman, competent policeman. The president left the matter in his hands to deal with. He dealt with the matter, finalized the matter in his competency, and the matter was considered closed. So I can tell you, yes, there was no formal case opened, because from the president's perspective, a very senior policeman was aware of the matter. He had looked into the matter, and he considered the matter closed because there was nothing further to do based on his own investigation. So it's not, there's no hesitation in that regard, John.
So you have a theft of a substantial amount of money in a particular part of the country that will never appear on the crime stats as a consequence of that. Let me put to you, Mr. Mokoena, what inference people might draw from this, that this was a matter that the president preferred not to have any kind of public scrutiny, and therefore a case number would leave potentially a paper trail and bring in, by the way, to the process, investigators who were not part of the president's team. That would suggest a desire to do this in the shadows rather in the full glare of light, which is where crimes are best solved.
No, John, I will respectfully push back against that. Number one, the president stands ready to cooperate with any law enforcement investigation of these matters. Number two, you know, the president considered the fact that this will create a lot of anxiety and fear in the neighboring farming community if something like this could happen to him. More and more people will feel vulnerable. So there was also just caution in terms of the panic and the kind of anxiety a matter like this will cause. But it was not in any way, shape or form an attempt to hide any form of paper trail. That's why the statement is quite clear and categorical that there is no basis for the claims of criminal conduct that have been made against the president in Mr. Fraser's statement. And that statement is not being made very lightly. And that statement is not for the sake of spin. It is. Yes. It is true. So I will push back against that assertion, John.
So Mr. Mokoena, let me follow up on what you've just said and try to understand the president's logic here. If I was the president's neighbor, I would absolutely want to know about crime in the area where I live, either because I want to understand the modus operandi and look out for someone operating in the same way. And again, I put it to you, I mean, we are regularly being told that we need to talk about the role of communities working together in crime. Why would the president choose to not inform neighbors of a threat that might actually be a threat to them?
John, there are many ways of interpreting this issue. I'm not in a position to debate various subjective views on interpretation. Really, for now, I will beg your indulgence and say, let's see what comes out of this investigation as a result of Mr. Fraser's charge. For the president, it's also interesting to note that Mr. Fraser was part of the security cluster. He had access to the president. He still will have access after he's left public service to the president. It is very unclear as to why he will go public and press charges.
But with respect, Mr. Mokoena, the issue of Arthur Fraser will be dealt with at a different time. The source of the allegations arguably are neither here nor there. What's at issue is the credibility of the president's response.
Not really. The source of the allegation is not neither here nor there, John. That may be your interpretation.
Yes.
But others may very well question the timing. They may very well question the credibility of the source of the allegations and the motives. So I don't think we can dismiss it and say it's neither here nor there. It is very much part and parcel of the issues more broadly.
Thanks very much, Vincent Mokoena, presidential spokesperson. Lots more to talk about that. I do have a more detailed response to this idea of who the allegations are coming from. And I think there are levels at which that's part of the conversation. But I also think there is a level at which whoever made the allegations is really beside the point. But let me save that for the moment because it is 3:30.